This is Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Welcome, everybody. It's Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. This hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. 2 hours of Radio Fury coming your way because we've got Mariners pregame coming up at 4 o'clock, but we are going to jam a whole bunch into a very short amount of time. We've got El Hombre Michael Bradley joining us in about 5-6 minutes or so. We will bring him in. We will debut the Mark Schlereth Show, 3 o'clock every Tuesday right here with Wyman and Bob. Stink will join us, one of the great personalities out there. And then part one of our conversation with Mike Blowers today. We'll give you part two tomorrow, but part one today at 3:30. So we're squeezing all of that in before 4 o'clock, and we turn things over to the Seattle Mariners pregame show. But the news is good surrounding the Seahawks, Dave. How about this? Dwayne Brown is back on the field and practiced yesterday.
That's huge. I mean, I think it's a huge relief for everybody. Did you ever doubt it was going to happen, Bob? I mean, did
no.
you think?
We talked about this. We were like, no, it's going to, he wasn't going to play anyway, so I'm not worried about that aspect, about preseason. And then, we talked about it. I had no doubts it was going to get done. I actually thought he would get a new deal in the way of, hey, we're going to add another year or we're going to extend, but they did some, maneuvering and they just worked with a contract that's in place guaranteeing some money. So he didn't get a new deal per se. Right. But he's obviously been pacified here.
Yeah, and they moved some money around. And I think people, if you think about it, you're getting the money up front as opposed to paid out over a long period of time. And, I'm just playing with numbers, thinking, okay, let's say he gets $11 million up front, so signing bonus $4 million and salary more up front money, $11 million, then you go and do the math on whatever you think he's going to pay in taxes, and then it goes in your account, and then for the next half a year, you make, 7 to 10%, 10% is hard, but 7%, it's several $100,000 that you're putting in his pocket. And, it's just kind of an act of good faith. I think it was kind of out of the blue that this came up, that Dwayne was going to, was going to do this. So they worked something out. And so now I guess there's just one left, and that's Quandre Diggs. And I think that one is in the making.
Well, and he practiced as well. So that's he got his was more about him securing insurance in case he gets hurt. He's not in a position to sign that big deal that he's got coming his way. So, just protecting himself, he's not getting a new deal either. So I'm not sure how this is going to affect Colin Cowherd's show, but there's not really the angst now. I mean, they got the deals done, but they didn't get new deals. So he's going to be scratching for material.
Yeah, that's right. But he tends to do that. But that's why he does.
But wasn't this laying the groundwork for every one of the other 21 or 22 players that are in the final year of their contract to go, well, I'm not playing. I want a new deal.
If there's one thing Pete Carroll brings out of his players, it's disgruntlement.
Right. So, I was glad to see it. It is, you and I both love Quandre Diggs. But for me, I have a big sigh of relief with Dwayne Brown because he's protecting the most important player on this roster. Whether you love him or hate him, Russell Wilson, if he is not out there, season's done.
Russ?
Well, there's, after the offseason, there's some people that are like, he's all Hollywood, he's fake, he's this, he's that, whatever. Yeah. But the reality is, without him, you're not going anywhere. And that's not a shot at Geno or anybody else, but that's the reality. And if you've got somebody who's subpar at left tackle or is just not as good as Dwayne Brown, you're running a huge risk with your $35 million investment there in the key to your playoff success. And if he's not there, you don't have to worry about playoff success because you're not going to get to the playoffs.
Well, and look at, especially considering Brandon Schell, according to Pete, played really well. And this wasn't him pumping him up. It was just like he was like, I got to tell you, one guy that is really playing well and has really had a good camp is him. So you got him, you got Dwayne Brown, the two guards. I mean, do we even need to talk about him?
No.
But the other thing is there's kind of a interesting, this Dakota Shepley guy looks really good. I mean, I've heard it from a couple of different people that he can really play and looks great so far. I mean, he doesn't have any experience from University of British Columbia, but now all of a sudden you throw him in there and go, wow, You've got Kyle Fuller that they really like, and then Ethan Posick right now. So we'll see how that shakes out. But I mean, even if the center doesn't work out and that's considered to be a weakness or whatever, which, you know, I doubt it. I mean, it's not like Dwayne Brown type of lockdown.
Right.
But you still got 4/5 of a really good offensive line there for your new offensive coordinator and run game coordinator and Russell Wilson.
Well, we'll get into all of that as we continue. Right now, it's time for the one, the only El Hombre, Michael Bradley.
Yeah, you know what you can get me, Pee-wee?
What? El Hombre.
First of all, as a service to the listeners, this is an absolute forget about it.
El Hombre.
He's a pariah. I mean, it's like going after raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens.
El Hombre.
It's a little different time than normal, but we've got Mariners pregame coming up at 4. So being the gracious individual that he is, Michael Bradley has agreed to join us early today. So as not to deprive our listeners out there, his fan base, they would be up in arms if we didn't bring him in. And he is with us on the Issaquah Pest Control Hotline. Hello, Michael.
I'm all about the people.
You're a man of the people.
Absolutely.
And we appreciate
you. I serve at their pleasure.
We appreciate your flexibility. Hey, college football is underway. I'm just curious from your perspective, and I know there's not an exact answer to this, but I'm reading headlines. Oh, Georgia football at its highest COVID spike since this whole thing began. And Dave and I have just lamented last season the fact that there was no fans and that it was so disjointed. Some teams played 11 games. Some teams played 4 games. Games were getting postponed and pushed here, and it was just hard. It was like the season didn't even happen. Do you think we're in store for that again, or do you get a sense that there are enough protocols in place where they can essentially work things out, not that there won't be a hiccup, but to the level we saw last year?
No, I think we're okay. Look, a lot of people are vaccinated throughout the country, and more are getting vaccinated. And also, I saw a Gallup poll today that said that more people are developing tolerance for mandatory vaccinations to go to events, go to restaurants, go into businesses, etc. I wouldn't be surprised if halfway through the season a lot of places said you have to be vaccinated in order to be able to get in. You see that with concerts. You see that with a lot of other things. So I wouldn't be surprised if that happened, and that may be the way to do it just from the fans' point of view. From the students' point of view, you've got teams that have high vaccination rates. They have some breakthrough cases, but they're certainly not nearly as serious as what we were seeing last time, and because so many schools have such high vaccination rates, we won't have the infections that we saw last year. So I think we'll be okay.
Yeah. Also, you know, I saw that the Sounders and Seahawks, you know, because it's outdoors, Lumen Field, you could also, in lieu of mandatory vaccinations, you can show them a negative COVID test that's less than 72 hours. You see?
Yeah, there's a lot of ways to do it, and that's what you want to do with the fans. I mean, as I said, if LSU's doing it, where they get 105,000 or however many they get, then other places can do it because there's only a couple other schools that have that level of attendance. So, and LSU, of course, being in Louisiana where the vaccination rates aren't as high, however, some of the infection rates are as high, you may see others saying, well, if they're going to do it, why don't we do it? They're getting, you know, they're not catching too much flack.
So what caught your eye in the world of college football outside of Michigan winning? Out here it was a dark, dark weekend, Michael. I mean, the Huskies losing to Montana 13-7, the Cougs cooging it in the end, finding a way to lose. It was dark out here, Michael. Really dark.
It really was. That was bleak. Now, Georgia's win over Clemson was important simply because it's such a resume builder, but Georgia's got a lot of work to do in the SEC. I'll tell you what team is impressing me and scaring me a little bit, and that's UCLA. And it's scaring me because I can't stand maximum leader Chip Kelly. But that win over LSU looked pretty good. They look like they got some weapons, and that offense seems to be schemed well. I loved watching Mississippi last night, first for the powder blue uniforms, but secondly for the way that playbook looks. I mean, that play where the quarterback took the snap and the shotgun, faked like he was running the line and then hit the running back who was going straight up the middle, that's almost illegal. That shouldn't be allowed almost. So it was fun. It's fun to see that. It was good to see UCLA. I think Notre Dame plays, you know, they play really physically. Chip Kelly was a jerk afterwards, and not because he tried to paraphrase, John McKay. I was upset because he botched the delivery, not because he said it.
He just wins you over at all points, doesn't he?
Oh God, he it's impossible. I mean, I don't know how you go and play for this guy. Does he have any charm? I mean, it was one of the best games. You had a tremendous story with Mackenzie Milton coming back. Yes, his team blew an 18-point lead, but they won. Smile, say, hey, it's great to be a fighting Irish coach, and then you can go in the locker room and yell at everybody and say we got a lot of work to do. Alabama's scary. I mean, I don't think this is a bad Miami team, but what Alabama did to it was just unbelievable. So, I mean, we've got a lot of fun stuff, and I'm looking forward to this weekend. I want to watch the Iowa State game. I want to see Michigan against Washington. It's going to be a fun day.
Okay, you were saying Brian Kelly. I thought you said Chip, but yeah.
No, Chip has no charm either, but
yeah,
Brian Kelly,
exactly.
I'm sorry, I got my Kellys mixed up.
Yeah, do you remember, Michael, the way he left Cincinnati to go to Notre Dame? It was like...
Yeah, it wasn't exactly a graceful exit.
Yeah, he left like a note for his guys, and his guys, I think, were the Cincinnati was a bowl team that year, and and it was like he left a letter or something behind, and it was at the guy's senior banquet and stuff like that. I've never been a fan of that guy.
No, not at all. And I mean, he give him credit though; he redid how he's been coaching. His team now has, gets a national. Is back into the national picture and was in the playoffs last year. And he stopped being such a raging lunatic on the sidelines,
yeah.
But you can still tell that he has, maniac tendencies.
Maniac tendencies.
I like it.
Steer clear. Yeah. Hey, I want to ask you about baseball, but I was going through some stories and I had seen this. I'm aware of the flooding that was going on the East Coast in New York. And I read the story about, Yankees play-by-play guy John Sterling being rescued from his car. Did you see the name of the guy that rescued him?
No, what was it?
Ricky Ricardo.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, he used to do the Phillies Spanish broadcast on radio.
Yeah, he's the Yankees Spanish radio play-by-play guy. But I mean, there's probably a lot of people that aren't aware of who Ricky Ricardo is in the in TV history.
I told you never to call me at the club.
I just saw that name pop up. I'm like, is that really his name? Ricky Ricardo.
Yes,
okay.
It actually is his name. It's not like somebody's just channeling Desi Arnaz. They want to be Ricky Ricardo.
By the way, did you get hit with any of the flooding out there, or was that more just New York Central?
No, we were very fortunate. I mean, there was nasty stuff all around us. I mean, there was a tornado in South Jersey, which was, about 25 miles from Miami. I saw a video of it. It was frightening. So, and I have friends who had some flooding in their basement. We were fortunate. We didn't get hit too badly, but I mean, it rained enough to have me scared. I mean, I was sitting back here going, all right, A, is the power going out? B, is our basement going to be all right? And C, we're going to get one of these tornadoes. Every 15 minutes, my phone was buzzing with a new tornado watch.
Man, that is ugly. But as far as baseball goes, I'm curious what it's like for you. You guys, the Phillies are a game and a half out. You guys have won 8 of 10. Team is rolling. You're right there on the edge. The Mariners are in a unique position because we're not used to them being contenders for a playoff spot. I mean, they haven't been there in two decades. So it's a big deal out here. Being the grizzled baseball fan that you are and Philadelphia fans, are you on the edge of your seat with every game now since there's just a precious few? Because out here, I can tell you, every win feels like it's a playoff win and every loss feels like, boy, that's the end of the season.
Well, I mean, look, the Phillies have won 8 out of 10. They could go lose 8 out of 10 tomorrow. I mean, they just dropped 2 out of 3 of the Marlins. I'm not kidding you. I mean, this team is infuriating. It's injury prone. It's going into the year, its best pitcher is supposed to be Aaron Nola. He can't get out of the fifth inning anymore. They had a pitcher, Ranger Suarez, who's been pitching well. He had to come out of a game with a tired arm the other day. So I have no idea what to think. Every time I turn it on, I'll turn it on like second or third inning, I just wince. Are they down 5-1? They scored 12 runs yesterday. That's probably their output for the week. They won't go past 2 runs in any other games this week. I have no idea what to think of this team. It's a roller coaster ride. I guess that's fun. I'm glad that you guys are experiencing this because a pennant race is really a lot of fun because the games are every day.
It's amazing. I love it. We're not used to, games in September mattering. You're kind of like, okay, let's see, training camp's done. Preseason's done. All right, game number one this weekend. Thank goodness. That's usually how it goes.
Yeah, you're right, and that's the thing. And you are right now saying, I can't wait for tomorrow because we got another game. football's fun, you know, it's every week and you get the anticipation leading up to it. But baseball, it's every single night. And when you're in a pennant race, the drama is just so high and you live with every pitch. So enjoy it. You may not get there, but just the fact that you're there and you have the opportunity to wake up every morning with a game that's going to matter, that's a big deal. And there's a lot of teams, I mean, a whole bunch of them throughout Major League Baseball right now. It's sitting at September 6th and they're saying, what else do we got?
Hey, Michael, just getting back to the NFL season, do you think, I mean, it's kind of interesting. I mean, it's safer from the standpoint that you have, you're kind of on top of COVID and, you know, understand it better. There's vaccines, things like that. But it was pretty easy, you know, last year that just no fans. And now there's, you know, I always said this about parenting, you know, there's no or there's everything else. And, you know, there's all kinds of different variations of how they're going to, you know, whether these games are going to go off, especially with the players. Do you think that every single NFL game, they'll find a way, whether players are exposed or whatever, that they'll find a way to get every NFL game off this year?
Oh, yeah. This is the NFL we're talking about.
Yeah.
As I said last year, you know, they'll just bring a bulldozer out and roll the bodies out of there to keep it going.
Right.
So I just say, you know what? They're going to figure out how to do it. It may not be with fans. I mean, heck, we may get into December and it could look grim again in terms of the way everything is going. Right now, the real outbreaks are isolated in certain parts of the country. But if this continues and people don't get the boosters and this variant mutates again and we go from the, you know, the Delta variant to the Omega variant or the whatever variant, or in COVID-22, is that going to be worse than COVID-19? I don't know. But the NFL is going to play its games just like it did last year. They may have to find another. They may have to go back to the way it was last year. They may have to bubble teams. I don't know, but they're going to get the games in because the money. There's too much money at stake.
Yeah.
Hey, Michael. As far as baseball goes in this playoff run, is there? Do you enjoy watching any other players or teams outside of the Phillies? Do you ever look at?
No.
Man, I love watching Tatis play, or I love watching this guy play. Are you just you're just Phillies and that's it and that's all?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to have a channel where it just cycled between the at-bats of Shohei Ohtani, Mike Trout, Fernando Tatis, and a couple other guys, where they go back and forth, and only when they were on. But you got to sit through the rest of the baseball to get to those guys. So I just can't do it. I'm a Phillies fan. I'm not necessarily a baseball fan.
Mm. Okay, that's fair.
How are your announcers out there? Because, like, we interview Mike Blowers, who does television, and you got Aaron Goldsmith, Dave Sims. I mean, we feel like we know these guys, and they're really, you know, they're all really good. So that's part of the experience, too.
No doubt. I mean, Dave Sims is great. I've known Dave Sims a long time. In fact, he called me after one of my appearances one time. He's like, "Are you kidding me? I got to get in the car and listen to you?" So we had a good time going back and forth. But in Philadelphia, it's interesting. The radio guys are good. It's Larry Anderson, a former Philly who played also for the Astros, the Red Sox, a bunch of other teams, and the play-by-play is good. The TV guy is really mixed bag about him. I mean, we came off of Harry Callis, who's one of the greatest ever. He did NFL film stuff. He did NFL games on Westwood One. He was great. And now we've got Tom McCarthy, and he's, you know, Harry didn't do with a shilling of tickets and all the promotions and everything. McCarthy does that a lot more, and his personality isn't the same as Callis's, so it's 50-50 whether you like him or hate him. There's no real middle ground on him.
Hey, before we let you get out of here, how have the pre-orders? Is the book officially out? I can't remember the release date.
The book is out. You can get it on Amazon.com. You can get it on BrianDawkins.com, Blessed by the Best. The story of Brian Dawkins' journey to Canton for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I wrote it with him. It's compelling as heck to read about his childhood and things he overcame in order to get into the NFL, in order to become an all-pro player. His personal life is fascinating. His talking about the NFL and just being a player on a team. And you know, he was there when the Eagles went to the Super Bowl. So it's everything's going well. Pick it up. It's a great gift. And Brian Dawkins is, you know, he's one of the greats of all time. And to read his story, it's very inspiring.
And you made a special version for me with small words and a lot of pictures.
Yeah, a lot of pictures. You have big print. Exactly. It's an audio book. I think Elmo reads it, so it's pretty good.
And it comes with crayons so I can color in the back and stuff.
They're, cool. Exactly. It's just like Steve Spurrier's old old line about the fire at the Florida State or South Carolina, I can't remember who it was, library, where he said it was a real sin some of the books weren't colored in yet.
That's cold. Blessed by the Best, My Journey to Canton and Beyond is the book that Michael Bradley wrote along with Brian Dawkins. You can order that now. It is available. I'm sure it's flying off the shelves. And it's probably great stuff because everything Michael writes is fantastic. And you know that by listening to him every Tuesday here with us. We appreciate the flexibility, Michael. We'll talk next week, man.
So long, suckers.
There you go. Michael Brad, who is, by the way, a really good writer.
You know why we get these guys is because you pump them up so nicely.
That's
even
right.
A lawyer.
Well, we can't pay them, so we gotta make them feel good. All right, let's take two.
Well, some updated and unfortunate breaking news here. Kyle Lewis has a bone bruise in his right knee, and Scott Service said he's been shut down for the season. He mentioned this just moments ago during his pregame media availability, and Service noted the bone bruise happened during a sliding drill that Lewis was doing recently.
Oh, man. This doesn't disappoint me because I was counting on him being here this season. In fact, you know, I've had our buddy Adam Ray is like, hey, when's Lewis coming back? And we just had this exchange over the weekend. I'm like, you know what, man? I don't really want to see him back unless he is without a doubt 100%. The idea that you're going to get him up to speed in 20-some games, or maybe it's in the teens by the time he would have been ready, there's just no reason to run the risk with a guy who's had that knee operated on, is it three times now, I think?
Well, and he ran into the wall. This is another one? This is recent?
Yeah, said he did this in a sliding drill.
Man.
So you got to worry about this becoming a chronic thing, man, if this is going to become a really fragile knee.
Yeah, that's what I was worried about, too. And then the whole thing sounded kind of different in the beginning, like he wanted to go to a different doctor, and which he should, you know. But, man, you look at what you're missing.
Yeah.
I mean, how many games? I mean, the guy was Rookie of the Year last year. I know in baseball you can't really look at it this way, but I'm like, if they had him maybe in a couple of games, I mean, they've been really good and close. You know, close games, but this guy just gave you so much last year that you can't help but sit there and think, well, how many games would they have won with Kyle Lewis?
Yeah, he ends up playing just in 36 games here in 2021, so that is a tough break. Well, we have the financial details on KJ Wright's deal with the Raiders. This is going to be interesting for Seahawks fans. For Mike Garofalo, it's a one-year, $3 million base salary. And then he can get per game and playing time incentives that can bump it up to $5 million max. So 1 year, $3 million base, but up to $5
million. You know, I got to say, there are guys that just get screwed. I don't know why. I mean, look, KJ's made a lot of money. $45 million, but like, you know, in 2019, I mean, he was making $5 million, $5 million, $7 million in 2018. Does he feel worth just $7 million, Bob?
No, not in the football world. Not even close. I think he's underpaid, which is a weird, you find yourself in a weird position, you know, lobbying for more money for a guy that's making multi-millions. It's weird. But when you compare him to his peers in the industry in which he thrives, he's wildly underpaid.
Yeah. I mean, maybe.
Or has been, I should say, yes.
Yeah, in 2016 he was a Pro Bowler, and then, yeah, I mean, I guess it's kind of a stretch saying he gets screwed, but I just feel like he can't quite get into that top-tier amount. I mean, I'm sure he's going to be fine, but having made $45 million, but still, I just feel like a lot of players benefit from timing, and sometimes the timing is just bad, and maybe if he would have had his Pro Bowl year or a year like he had last year and the year before that, you know, right up against a contract when he was younger, maybe he'd have made more money. I don't know.
Certainly, yeah. But I hope he makes every penny of that. He gets that $5 million. All right. Take two is brought to you by Swedish Cyberknife. Treat prostate cancer with Swedish Cyberknife. Swedish.org/CyberKnifeProstate. Coming up, another day, another move involving Seahawks cornerbacks. We'll tell you what we're talking about next. It's Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
This hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. Coming up at the top of the hour, the debut of Mark Schlereth. Are we calling it the Stink Show, the Schlereth Show? What do we call it? Does it have a title, Lefko? What are we doing?
Up to you, yeah.
Do we
call
have
it
a,
something if it connects?
Do we have
it
a big time produced open?
No, not
for
yet, because we're going to see what sticks.
Oh, for the love of God.
Yeah. Well,
what sticks with Stink?
There's the blank show, you know, when something goes horribly wrong. There's a smoke show.
Yeah.
That Bob likes to use that term sometimes.
That's usually in reference to something else, but yeah.
Yes, it is. So we can just call it the stink show.
The stink show. Or you guys can...
The show that stinks.
Well, we can tap into the creativity of our listeners if you guys have a good idea. We don't have any production for it yet, so we'll get it in. Hopefully next week we'll have a big open forum.
If Dave starts calling it the show that stinks, I can just see the mean text flooding in on something else
our
show.
What should we call the Mark Schlereth show? What should it be that simple, the Mark Schlereth show, or can we get more creative?
Today I think also we need to get to the bottom. I remember hearing the word about how he got the nickname Stink.
Okay.
And I don't totally remember. So we'll let him tell that story. Maybe we can lead off with that.
Okay.
We'll ask him what he thinks.
We'll ask him, and we'll take suggestions too. 710-710 is the Mac and Jack's text line. What should we name the show? Because it debuts today, so we'll get some production in place for it, give him a big time open, make him feel special every Tuesday at 3 o'clock. That's when Mark Schlereth will be with us. But today it goes just sort of nameless. It's just kind of free flowing today. So stay tuned for it. It's coming up at the top of the hour. Meanwhile, as we said, another day, another move involving Seahawks cornerbacks, Dave. Now, Desmond Trufant is officially not coming to Seattle. That was a name we kept seeing on the text line over and over and over. Get him here. Well, he signed a deal with the New Orleans Saints. So he's out of the mix.
But he's a Pro Bowler in 2015 in Atlanta. And two seasons ago, he had four picks.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see what he's got left in the tank. And I don't really know the details of everything that was going on with him in the offseason, but I'm rooting for him. But he won't be playing in a Seahawks uniform. But John Reed, the guy they traded the conditional pick for, was promoted to the 53-man roster. We got Bless Austin. Is that his name? Right?
Yep.
Him. To me, I feel like it's, you know, DJ Reed is the standout. If he can stay healthy. We've talked about this. He's the he's the one guy I look at and go, I feel really good about his presence on the field. When he's on the field, he's got to show that he can be there for 17 games, I should say now. Outside of that, we've seen the up and down of Trey Flowers. Trey Brown is hurt. He's a rookie, so I'm not putting a ton on him in the way of expectations. Sidney Jones is a guy that everybody loved at UW. I get it. That is not who he was at the professional level. Flat out, unfortunately, blew out the Achilles before he ever entered the NFL. Maybe that's had an impact, but it didn't go great in Philadelphia. Spent 1 year with the Jags. Now he's here. Maybe they push the right buttons. We'll see. But in terms of the overall position, Dave, I do not feel good about it. I didn't feel good about it before preseason. I don't feel any better now.
Yeah, I mean, it's a wait-and-see position. I mean, if DJ Reed plays his best, Trey Flowers plays his best, then, you know, you'll be okay. But, you know, the other thing, you can protect your corners with safeties over the top, dropping guys underneath. I mean, you don't want it to be something that, you know, entirely takes away your freedom to call whatever defense you want. But, you know, yeah, you've got some guys there where they're question marks here. So it'll be interesting to see how Sidney Jones plays, for example. You know, every once in a while you catch a guy. And, again, I keep going back to the fact that they've been really good. Based on their history, you would say that the two Treys would be starting at corner at some point because they have – drafted and developed corners. That's how they've done it. They've not brought guys in from the outside. And maybe we, you know, over exaggerate. Who's the guy from Philly that
Kerry Williams?
Kerry Williams, you know, that did not work out. He couldn't get the kick step down and all that stuff. And then, you know, with Witherspoon, he just wasn't physical enough and, you know, just wasn't the right fit here. So it'll be interesting. I texted Keith Butler. I was like, let me know what you think of Witherspoon out there because Keith was the all-time leading tackler as a linebacker for the Seahawks, now the D coordinator for Pittsburgh. And
yeah, you know, still not good enough to get past Brian Bosworth on the all-time linebacker list.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Even though he had like 1,984 tackles or something like that.
He was just couldn't measure up to Shaquem Griffin.
Botch was such a good player.
I know.
Yeah, so smart. So anyway,
let me play this cut from Pete Carroll and get your thought on it because he's basically stating the obvious as far as I'm concerned, and maybe I'm too cynical about the position, but I don't go into the season with a lot of confidence there. And he said there could be some growing pains as they get acclimated here.
My concern would be in terms of their readiness. Exactly like you said, make sure that, you know, our guys know what's going on. Sidney's been here all for a week already, so he's been working at it. He's familiar with us and style and technically how we coach guys. You know, his coaches at at the Dub took care of him in great fashion. And he's a really bright kid, too, you know, as is John Reed. We just noticed these guys just pick stuff up really quickly. The cornerback spot, it depends. If we try to make them into something different than what they are, then they might struggle. But these guys are not we don't ask them to do that. We ask them to play in the mentality and the mold that they bring and then tweak from there.
So we'll see what that means, Dave. But what this gives me the feeling of studying for the test. You're cramming the night before. Feels like they're scrambling. Feels like, hey, we brought these pieces in. We paid for Witherspoon. You know, we drafted Trey Brown. We had these plans in place, and for what different reasons it's kind of gone a different direction. Whether Witherspoon wasn't physical, Trey Brown got hurt, what have you, and then. Now it feels like we're playing catch-up. We're scrambling. There could be some growing pains. We're not going to ask them to do anything outside of what they're good at. And I don't know. I'm feeling negative about the cornerback spot, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the one spot I think that's by far the biggest question. It's like things did not work out for them. You know, I think they had plans on Witherspoon being better than he was, that Trey Brown, they could maybe not necessarily start him, but – you know, get him in the mix so that he's playing a little bit in the first few games and then, you know, start to work him in a little bit. And then DJ Reed not being available, you know, it did not work out. You can't say it did. And so it's going to be interesting to see, you know, I know everybody's going to be looking very closely at the corners. But, you know, I'm looking at also you face, you know, Carson Wentz.
Maybe
Tannehill in week two, Kirk Cousins in week three, and then Jimmy Garoppolo / Trey Lance in week four. I don't know that he'll be playing by then. So, you know, and then week five, you got the great Matthew Stafford, who's apparently the savior in Los Angeles.
Is he in the Hall of Fame yet? Has that not happened yet?
I don't think so. Oh. Yeah, and then you go to Pittsburgh, and you got Big Ben. New Orleans is a question mark. So, you know, Jacksonville. So the first half of the season – really, who's the best quarterback that you're facing there? I guess Big Ben.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen Cousins do some things. He can be very efficient when he's on. We've seen all these guys. I mean, Carson Wentz was an MVP candidate throughout a season, so he's been good in the past. Now, which versions of these guys are going to see? Who knows? We'll find out. But they're all capable. We know they're very capable of being good, and especially if your cornerbacks aren't, they can make a good, you know, maybe slightly above average quarterback look a lot better than maybe he is.
Yeah, but, you know, at least you're not facing, like, you know, Patrick Mahomes.
Right, or Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady or any of that, yeah.
For a while in the first eight games, you know. So that gives you a little bit of a chance to kind of figure it out. But, like, Garoppolo, I know Moyer always talks about how Garoppolo can really just throw down the middle of the field.
Yeah.
He's not great out, at, you know, where the numbers are, where corners play, so... Yeah, and we've seen good things out of all these guys. I really like T.J. Reed. I mean, you're right. The big question mark there is the other thing, too. I bring this up a lot, but that tackle he made in the playoff game, or he just threw everything he had into it, and he ended up kind of hurting himself for a few, I think a series or so he came out. It was
Which guy are you talking about?
D.J. Reed.
Oh, D.J. Reed. I thought you said T.J. Reed. I was going, wait a minute.
I'm sorry. I said it fast. D.J. Reed.
Yeah.
Maybe there is a TJ Reed on the corner list. They got all kinds of guys coming.
We got
in
a
here.
DJ Reed and a John Reed who's been promoted. So there's those two. Quickly before the
spelled
break,
spelled differently.
Let me play this. This is Pete Carroll talking about Trey Brown and the expectations for his availability.
It's going to be a bit for him too. We got to make sure that, you know, again, he's got a couple things we're working on, but none of them are debilitating. None of them so serious. It's just going to take some time. So it's going to be a couple weeks.
He's got a couple things we're working on.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. The cornerback spot has become my new O-line, Dave. That's what I'm going to be just keying in on and watching and probably complaining about. So I just want to prepare you. I'm going to demand answers.
It sounds like I'm going to be having to be the voice of reason.
I'm just going to look at you when things go wrong and go, huh? What?
See?
Tell me what happened there.
It's not my fault. I didn't bring anybody in. I didn't sign anybody. Yeah, that's what Bob used to do in the press box. What was that? Yeah. Or you could be like, hey, I thought you were supposed to fix that.
Yeah, why is this still happening, Dave? Right. What are we doing about this? All right, coming up, he's already the most quotable coach in the NFL. But can he coach? Our opponent preview series wraps up with the Detroit Lions. It's coming your way next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
We're scouting the schedule.
I'm excited about this week.
Taking an in-depth look at the Seahawks opponents.
We're playing against a terrific opponent.
Every day on Wyman and Bob.
Coming up at the top of the hour, Mark Schlereth will join us for his maiden voyage, the debut of whatever that show is going to be called. Will happen at 3 o'clock today, and we've got people texting in. Somebody said, I think a good name for Stink Show is, quote, this segment stinks.
I don't know if you saw, I was corresponding with a texter who predicted, he said, over a beer, I'll bet you a beer the Seahawks start out 1-5 or 2-4.
What?
I said, that's a lose-lose for me because either way I have to have a beer with you.
Yeah, that's right. You don't know what you get yourself into.
Highly unlikely.
Yeah, somebody was trying to send us a link. And for those of you that text into the show, just as a heads up, often people will copy links and send. We can't open links on this system. It doesn't allow us to, so we're never able to do that. But they sent a link, I don't know, what was it, Friday? And I asked, hey, we can't open it. What is this? And they said it was some, I can't remember what site it came from, but they were doing, you know, computer projections, you know, they play the season 1,000 times or whatever, and somehow had the Seahawks going 0-9 and not making the playoffs. I'm like, what? 0-9? What kind of nonsense article is that? I would bet my house on the fact they don't go 0-9. I mean, it's just, yeah, maybe they could certainly disappoint, as could any team, and not live up to expectations. But the idea they're going to go winless through their first 9 games, give me a break with that stuff. I don't know where all that's coming from.
Well, and I was watching Chris Sims, and he's on Pro Football Talk, and you know him, and usually it's Florio, it was somebody else, but they were saying they thought San Francisco was going to win the division, and you know, I don't know what they had the Seahawks at like 10-7 or something like that, but I don't know, man. I think that people are overreacting because you didn't see anybody in the preseason, you know, none of the frontline players. None.
Yeah. Yeah. So, we're going in blind. We don't really know what the offense is going to look like. We don't really know what the defense is going to look like. We know what the depth looks like in certain aspects, certainly. That's kind of it. You know,
yeah. I just don't think you can have a arguably top 4 quarterback in this league. You know, Chris Carson, I feel like, is a top 10 running back, the best receiving duo.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a stretch. I think you have the best safety duo.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there's question marks at corner. Everybody thinks that Bobby Wagner is a Hall of Famer, and you've got, you know, some good guys at linebackers. Maybe some question marks there with Daryl Taylor. But, yeah, I just think because we didn't see, you know, a whole bunch of those guys playing in the preseason.
Yeah. Just quickly before we look at the Lions, I believe this is the person that sent it to us, but said it was ESPN ran a simulation that predicted every outcome for the NFL season. I guess the simulation number was 13,330. But they said the Seahawks will start 0-9. And no, I'm not joking, said the texter. Said they'll start winless through its bye week and then come back from the bye week and lose again. Jeez. I don't know what the computer. There's a glitch. There's a computer glitch.
I think so.
Nonsense. All right, let's look at this Lions team because for anybody who's not familiar, this is going to happen in Week 17. By the way, we've been taking a look at the Seahawks opponents week by week. January 2nd at home. The Week 18 season finale is against the Cardinals, so this is right before it against the Detroit Lions, who have the wordsmith Dan Campbell is their head coach. Mm-hmm. You have that clip there, Lefko.
This team's going to be built on, we're going to kick you in the teeth, all right? And when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off, all right? And we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take 2 more shots to knock us down, all right? And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap, and we're going to get up. And then it's going to take 3 shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing. All right, that's going to be the mentality.
So when they run out of kneecaps, they're going after elbows, thighs, whatever's available. They're going to get knocked down, take a chunk out of you on their way back up. You're going to knock them down again. This is going to be like Apollo Creed and Rocky in their first 2 movies. I mean, it's just, you know, unbelievable amount of damage being handed out there.
Well, and I think Detroit could very easily start off 0-3. Maybe even 0-4. I mean, they start with San Francisco, they're at Green Bay, and then they got Baltimore. So, yeah, this is going to be a struggle for him. You know, the one thing I'll say about Campbell, though, I do like his philosophy, man. There is a room for that in the NFL, that you need to be more physical. And that was kind of my theme for this defense coming in. Well, and I think you're going to get that from two people in particular. Number one, well, three, okay? So, because Jamal Adams is just pure energy, right? But Marquise Blair, I think he is going to raise the level of violence on this defense, that he is going to make it so if you are not playing up at the level that he is physically, that, you know, that there's going to be problems. Because, you know, I go back to this play against Atlanta when he was healthy the first game and he laid somebody out and Quandre Diggs came running up behind him, you know, in the pile and like pushed him, like to give him like a celebratory push, you know, like, hey.
Yeah, yeah.
And he turned around and almost fired on Quandre Diggs.
Yeah.
Like he's angry.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what Dan Campbell is preaching there. And I think that there's room for that in the NFL. And I think that, you know, that's something I would love to see the defense be like an enforcer. I think Jordan Brooks brings that, and, you know, and hopefully everybody will play that way. Trey Flowers is that way too,
yep.
Really at corner.
All right. Coming up, you've been waiting for him. We've been waiting for him. The man himself, the stink himself. Mark Schlereth will join us next. We'll get his take on what the name of the show should be, where the name Stink came from, all of that. All answers are provided. Coming up with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.